Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our look at election 2016. This is a current events update, and this is part two of two. Stopping traffic. Blocking highways. I had to bleep out what they were chanting. F off Donald Trump was what they were chanting. And F was not for fries. It was a dirty word. They had sit-ins on campuses. Hope you all get hemorrhoids sitting on the cold concrete like that.
They already are.
They are hemorrhoids. You hear that? This is a fact. I just guess we must confront the upcoming generation with Jesus. This generation is just as bad as the previous two or three, but it's just the idea has been over the last few decades that the way to win the youth is to bootlick them, to never offend them, to never deal with real issues, never tell them the truth. We should gather them in a big building and let them have rock concerts and not teach them the Bible. We should make them feel like they're just like they would anywhere else. I mean, I've had youth directors tell me that when they would have the youth come in, they would flick on QFM and listen to satanic rock music so that the kids would feel right at home. It's going on in youth groups so-called all over this county, all over the country. That's what they do. And then they don't teach the Bible. They just have discussions. Talk about their feelings. Now, I said this last week to a couple of friends. I have feelings. Like, right now I feel hungry. So I'm in touch with my feelings. We have to confront. I got to go about this. I have had, and I'm just shooting straight with you folks, the worst about this. And I'm looking right at some of you. Preaching at you, so I'm gonna look at all of you. Where are all the women? I got all the women. I've got eye contact with all the women. The women have been the worst about this, and I'm looking around, and I know the women in here will confront. So I'm not worried about, losing my birthday or anything over this. But I'm gonna tell you, through the years when I've confronted the young people, it's a mother or a aunt or a friend or some lady in the church just comes up and says, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That young person needs love." My response, I'm giving them love. Amen. What you're giving them is a bill of goods. And the proof is in the pudding. Today, the way you're supposed to raise children and the way you're supposed to do youth ministry is never confront a child, never tell them they're wrong, never explain things to them. Look what it's produced. Yep. Yeah. Only then, when we confront them with the Word of God, will the Word of God have entrance into their hearts. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13 is what the Bible says about government. And very few, I'm saying less than 10% of the young people that I ever talk to have any idea this is in the Bible. Romans 13, this is what happens when you resist God and resist the powers. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, read that. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. In other words, you resist the cops, don't be surprised when they billy club you up the side of the head. You pull a gun or ignore orders and pull out a cell phone and they think it's a gun, you're dead. And you deserve it. And don't think I haven't told our kids that. I have, because I love them enough to tell them the truth. And I've told the young people that I've had under me through the years. You are to respect authority, and if they are in, you know, it's, of course there's, I shouldn't have to explain this. If there's some extreme abuse going on, that's different. But even then, you should look for the least resistance, and after the thing is over with, then you can do something about it. Unless they're physically abusing you or something. There are so many times people, I've seen videos of people sitting in the car mouthing off at the cop and, you know, cussing at them and showing no respect. And then the cop asks them to get out of the car and they won't turn around. They won't do what they're told. Instead of just go along with what you're asked to do, unless it's completely uncalled for and it's something that you just shouldn't do. Otherwise, you do what you're supposed to do, and you'll survive. I believe we are about to see an onslaught of anti-Christian hatred like we've never seen in America. Because of this rebellious attitude toward God, toward authority. And it, of course, most cases it starts in the home. You see the kid rebelling in the home, rebelling against their parents, and then it just blossoms after that. Not, in this case, not by the government, but by our fellow Americans. If Hillary would have been elected, we had the hate speech thing going on. But what I believe we're about to see is something that is going to be personal, individual, in a private sense, things going on in your personal lives. Your job, your neighbors, your relatives. That's what I believe is going to happen. And I'm going to show you an example, and I want to apologize ahead of time. I don't show these things in church very often. But this I'm going to show, and I want you to watch it. Because you need to understand what this world and what is going on in our culture when it comes to you. I want to come back in a minute, Johnny. I want to show you this. That you have to understand what is going on in this world. Because a lot of Christians, they live in a bubble. They don't realize millions of people are being filled with this. He's ripping up a Bible. Now watch this. It's a Gideon Bible. Who is that? That's Donald Trump. That was Donald Trump. He, to them, represents Christianity in America, even though Christians themselves don't even know whether he's really a Christian or not.
So who was that?
Marilyn Manson is the guy's name. And I'm going to say this. I sent a message to the account that uploaded this and told him he's a coward. This kid, I don't know how old he is now, he can't get over the fact they made fun of him when he was a teenager. And he's blaming God instead of blaming the people. And now he spends his entire life blaspheming and mocking. And he's provoking people to hate Christians and Christianity. That's what he's all about. And because of what the world sees in Donald Trump, and because he stands for the Constitution, he stands for what's right, then they depict him decapitated. And I sent him a message, said, "You're a coward. Anybody can rip up a Bible in the United States of America, and you can, you know, use special effects and cut off Donald Trump's. You really think you're bad?" They call him badass, you know, badass. "You think you're bad? Do that to a Quran."
In Saudi Arabia.
And cut off the head of a famous Muslim in effigy. You know why he'll never do that? Because they're cowards.
That's right.
These people are cowards. They know and take advantage of the fact. Bill Maher's another one. Just as one of many examples I give, he has his own HBO show. That guy is a little twerp. He's a coward. And he gets on HBO and acts like he's so brave, blaspheming and picking on Christians. He don't have the guts, and somebody confronted him. He admitted it. He doesn't say that stuff against Islam and everything. Although I tell you, he comes out more than some of the other ones. But, again, this Marilyn Manson and all these guys, they won't do that to a Quran. They won't film a video ripping a Quran, burning a Quran. Scared to death. They're cowards. These people know they're going to answer on Judgment Day when they stand before God. They're going to admit they knew Christianity was the real deal.
That's right.
That's why they're focused on it. And they also know that under Christian influence, they don't have to worry about being killed. That's the Roman Catholic Church they have to worry about. In Christian history, it weren't Pentecostals and Baptists and Nazarenes burning people at the stake. It was the Roman Catholic papacy under the Inquisition that did that. And so Satan tries to get that, you know, paint with a brush. All you Christians and your crusades and inquisitions, that belongs to the Pope, and they killed people like us. That's Christian history. So how do we respond? By continuing to what?
Do right.
Do right. Preach, teach, take a stand, do right. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's a heavy one. That's the big one today. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and either out of fear of man and a desire to be loved by everybody because of pride, whatever, they will not do what's right. They don't do good. And it's a sin to know to do good and do it not. James 4:17. Righteous anger is biblical. If you see this stuff and don't get angry, there's something wrong with you. But we leave the punishment up to the Lord. That's why Marilyn, I don't know what his real name is, that's a fake name, but these guys don't have to worry about us. And they know it. We don't take matters into our own hands. And by the way, they always throw the thing, "Oh, what about the guy who shot the abortionist?" There has only been one case of a person who was an actual Christian who shot an abortionist. The others were agnostic and involved in nihilism and all these other isms. They weren't Christians. And I don't have the list of names and everything. We've talked about that in other studies. Romans 12:19. Instead of resisting God, we should resist the devil. And we should trust God. Romans 12:19, I want you to read that with me. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It doesn't say that you shouldn't be angry, but it says you leave the vengeance up to God. And a lot of Christians think it's a sin to be angry, and so they're really in denial, and I think it's damaging to your mind and your heart because you're doing something God didn't tell you to do, is not be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. But what you don't do is take matters in your own hands. We must faithfully pray for America.
Amen.
Leave the punishment up to God. faithfully, and by the way, there's people ask me about abortion. And if I believe it's murder, then do I believe that all the abortionists and the women who have abortions should be punished for murder? And my answer is, once the law changes, yes. But you don't charge somebody for a crime whenever your law says it is legal. But if abortion is outlawed, from that point on, I believe any abortionist and any woman who has abortion should be charged with murder. Yes. But under the laws right now, and I've had somebody say, well, then you, it's like saying the Nazis shouldn't have been charged with their crimes. Because no, that's not, because their laws, they weren't going by the German laws. Adolf Hitler, a lot like Obama, just made stuff up, executive orders. And it wasn't legal, the things they were doing. They went around the law. So anyway, one last place. Turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let's see, this is a biblical response to the wickedness that we're dealing with in this country. I'll start by reading verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings, we don't have a king. So don't equate that with president. It's not the same thing. And for all that are in authority. There's where you can put your president, your congressman, and all those. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, that's our desire. But we're not going to compromise and we're not going to not do good in order to get along with everybody. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That means he will, as in that's his will. His will is that all men would be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So that tells you right there, there's our response to what's going on in the world. We faithfully pray for America. We faithfully pray for Israel.
Israel, yeah.
We're talking about our nation. Our nation, if our nation turns against Israel, we're done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 122:9 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And I love this.
President-elect Trump, my friend, congratulations on being elected President of the United States of America. You are a great friend of Israel. Over the years, you've expressed your support consistently, and I deeply appreciate it. I look forward to working with you to advance security, prosperity, and peace. Israel is grateful for the broad support it enjoys among the American people, and I'm confident that the two of us, working closely together, will bring the great alliance between our two countries to even greater heights. May God bless America. May God bless Israel. May God bless our enduring alliance.
Amen.
All right, there's another one I want to run the aisles on. If this is a sign of things to come, praise the Lord. I mean, just like Kim, you said, when just the very election, but the things we've already seen just in 24 hours. Just such a change. And I think Ann Coulter said it best, the only right thing to do is for the Obamas to move out today. That would be the decent thing to do, yeah.
Yeah, go to Dubai when they're talking about.
We must double our efforts to preach the gospel. I believe that that's the only enduring change that we're going to see in America is as a result of preaching the gospel. I love this response that Paul, you know, Paul's day was ugly. Paul died because of a wicked antichrist named Nero. And Colossians 1:28, he says about Jesus, says, whom we preach. Look at this. We preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. See, that's our desire, including this Marilyn Manson or Hillary Clinton even. Don't say anything, Mark. It's true. We would like to see them all saved.
Amen.
And if you want to make an enduring change on your life, on your family, on your local church, on your community, on your country, you will preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You'll warn every man and teach them in all wisdom. That means the whole counsel of God. That's what's going to change America. That's what's going to make things better in America, if it's going to happen.
That's the only thing.
Yes, Johnny?
I just wanted to mention, you're reading that passage in Romans 13, 1 and 2. I just think it would have been good to also add on.
Johnny, I can only read so much Bible in my Bible studies. That's what they did to me Sunday on live. They was like, "Where'd you stop?" I'm like, "I gotta stop somewhere."
Just 34, though, you clarified that you obey the government because their job is to punish the wicked.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's six verses, and I'd need it. And I've actually taught a message on that, but it wasn't recorded. So sometime I'll have to teach that again, because it's six verses that for a complete study of the Christian and government, basically what it's called. And we'll do that again sometime. But in the meantime, take Johnny's advice and read the rest of that passage and study that, because it's true. And Johnny also made a point last week. And I totally didn't get it when he said it, but he was talking about how we were talking about eternal torment versus annihilation in our study last week. And he pointed out in one of the verses, it talked about how Satan will be tormented day and night forever and ever, which answers the idea that the forever and ever means it's just like they're cast in, they go poof or whatever. It's obvious, day and night, forever and ever. It gave a standard of time to that, and so I want to mention that. I put that on the notes of our Q&A, so everybody understand that point from last night.
I was just going to bring up the verse on we have to be God rather than men.
Yes.
That's like if the government is telling you something that's not
right.
Biblical.
That would go in with the study of the Christian and government. That there is a time that's why I was saying, you know, like when a cop is doing something that is within his, you know, duty and jurisdiction and all that, then you need to be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to an extent. There's, you know, you obey God rather than man. If they're going to do something that is unbiblical, as a violation of you personally, any of those things, there are limits. Twice on the job years back, I was told, no, don't talk about Jesus anymore, and don't give people gospel tracts, any of that. Put your Bible away, basically just shut up. And I told them, I said, you know, I'm going to allow you to go talk to your legal advisors or attorneys so you can get straightened out on this. I said, because if you come to me again, I'm suing you. Because that's what Paul did in the book of Acts. He appealed to the law. And that's what a suit is. You appealed to the law. And I said, I'm going to take you to court so that not only you won't do that to me anymore, but you won't do that to other Christians. Because just because I walk into the place of employment, or I walk into a school building, I don't lose my human rights, and I don't lose my constitutional rights. Now, on the clock, I can be told not to be preaching. But before I get clock in, during my breaks, and after I clock out, I can be in the building, on the premises, in the parking lot, in a break room, or whatever, and I am a human being with the right of free speech and the freedom of religion in the United States of America, but that's a human right that everyone enjoys. And that's what Charlie's talking about. And too many Christians have just cowered and said, oh, I won't. It's like, you got to stand, you know. You got to stand. No one's going to make you do it. You got to want to obey God rather than the man. Yes, it's in Ephesians, but I can't remember the reference. Having done all, stand. Yes, Brian?
I How does hate speech, how would that ever fit under the First Amendment? You can't limit.
You have to be a liberal to.
You can't limit and restrict speech.
Right. And what their argument is, and we do have laws where you can't run into a crowded room and yell fire.
Yeah, but that's not what we're doing.
Exactly. And but they try to make an equivalent of that because they're liberals. Liberals lie. I mean, that's it really, I'm not trying to just be mean, although I don't mind being mean, but the liberal is a dishonest person.
That's putting the most fundamental amendment in the Constitution against itself.
Yeah. And the only...
This is not a good comparison. But Christ himself said a house divided against itself can't stand. If you get hate speech against the First Amendment, free right to free speech, how's it going to survive?
It's a double standard, and it's a false standard, and the Bible says in Proverbs, God hates a false standard, false measure. And but that's why the Second Amendment's there. And that's something that, again, Christians haven't been taught on for decades. But the reason the Second Amendment is there is, like, this is the most fundamental basic right, the First Amendment. Now, what's your recourse if the government violates the First Amendment? The Second Amendment is your recourse. And that's why they attack the Second Amendment, because they need to undermine the Second Amendment in order to really get rid of the First. That's why the first thing that... The first thing that all dictators do is take your guns. Lenin took all the weapons, and Pol Pot is another example, took all the weapons. Of course, Hitler, gun control was one of the first things he did. And then once he took all the guns, and once any of these men took all the guns, then there was no recourse. People had to submit to them. And if you ever want to find out what it was like, read the writings of Solzhenitsyn over in Russia, where he describes how they sat in their prisons in the dark, dank situation, a lot of them dying from malnutrition and disease, not knowing what's happening to their wives and their children, knowing that a lot of them were raped, a lot of them were killed, sitting there unable to do anything. And they sat and thought, what if we had resisted? What if we had resisted? What if those men, when they came into our homes, had to worry about the possibility they wouldn't go home to their family? That's what the Second Amendment's all about. And I think the more our public schools are controlled by people who lack the Spirit of God and lack an understanding or appreciation of the Constitution, the more our schools are controlled by progressives, then the more generation after generation you're going to see an attitude. And that's what they hate the churches, the fundamental Bible believing churches, and they and other, like the NRA, they hate us because we undermined the brainwashing they got in public schools. They take you in the public school and they make it, guns are bad. They told us, I was in Southern Iowa, a small school, and I remember a teacher saying, if you ever see a gun, run. I was like, and like, wait a minute. Yeah, that gun isn't going to hurt anybody. What do? You stay calm. It's not going to shoot you. It's an inanimate object. You go find an adult and you tell them, there's a gun over here, and what is there? I don't know, but there's a gun there. That's all a kid has to do.
And if you're a liberal, you go find a conservative.
Yes. Yes.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.